Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Gwen Sheltimer, my co-host Felicity Signal-Reed, and our guest this week, Jessica Outram, playwright, poet, blogger, and teacher. Jessica, you wrote Once Upon a Rocking Chair some years ago, and it was produced by Stone Circle Theatre. What was the original inspiration for the play?
It was my family and my cottage. So we had this really great tradition in my family where my mom and her two sisters and my cousins and I would all go to the cottage for Girls Week. And it started years ago when our mothers really just wanted to take a break from us. So they would go to the cottage, no kids allowed. But then as we turned 18, 19, 20 and became adults, then they slowly let us join them. And it was a really lovely tradition that we had, I think, for about 10 years. It was great. It was about a week long, and I remember sitting around. We'd sit on the porch a lot and look around at the women in my family and just fascinated by their stories. And so I took that setting, that tradition, and those people and used that as my starting point, and then completely changed everything and blew their lives apart the way that I wanted to after that. So that was a lot of fun. But it was inspired by a family tradition at the cottage.
And what do they have to say about that?
You know, it was really funny because they loved it. They loved it. They came down and we all watched when it was produced in 2008. They came down and they watched the show, which was very exciting. I think, like my brother, for example, he's not written about in the play, but he after he saw it, he says, "Please don't ever write about me." So I think that, you know, there's probably at least one moment for each of them where I tried to capture something of them, although I did take creative license with the conflict and the stories of their lives. It does have a bit of the spirit of having a strong group of women in the family.
Yeah. When you began to look at it again this summer, you decided to do a rewrite. Why? What kind of adjustments could you make to something that is successful in the first place?
Yeah, you know what? And it did really well. When it was produced in 2008, it was one of the highest grossing plays for Stone Circle Theatre, which was really wonderful. And I had great feedback on the play, but you know, we're rarely never done a project. And in 2014, Voss Theatre did a reading of it at Victoria Hall. And I sat in the audience and I thought, oh my gosh, I have got some ideas now. Because since, you know, I probably started writing it in 2006, so that's almost 10 years ago. And I've grown considerably as a writer and as a person. So when you're at the cottage and you're sitting on a porch and you're looking at these intimate relationships, there are lots of moments of insight, and I feel that over the last 10 years, my ability to capture that has also changed. So I was really excited when Northumberland Players picked it up. I thought this is going to be great because now I've got a motivation to go back into the script and to refine some of the themes and clean it up and make it even better.
Good. But you're not going to lose the good bits, right?
No. And it's still the same setting, the same basic characters, the same basic story arc, but
good.
Substantially revised.
So tell us about the production. Like, how do you end up casting it, and how long before production, before performance, they go into rehearsal, all those sort of things?
Sure. So how about if I start with the title of the play is Once Upon a Rocking Chair. And it's about six women, three mothers, their three daughters at Girls Week at the cottage. And they've all got secrets, and they're revealed, and they pass that point of no return where their lives won't be the same again. Those kinds of juicy family secrets. Auditions are in February. And then we'll probably go into rehearsal by the end of February, early March. And then the show is on stage May, June 2017 at the Fire Hall Theatre. And all that information is on the Northumberland Players website.
Fabulous. Well, I would love to hear you read from Once Upon a Rocking Chair, or, you know, something to do with your play. So tell us what you're going to read.
Sure. So I thought that I would read to you just a little bit about the setting, just to kind of help transport you to the cottage. And then I thought I would share with you the monologues. So each scene. There are six scenes in the play, three in Act One and three in Act Two. And each scene begins with a monologue by Rebecca, who is one of the daughters. And the monologues tell their own story, but are also connected to the themes that will be expressed throughout the scene. So I thought I would share with you two of her monologues, just to give you a taste.
Great.
So the setting. It's summer 2006, and the play takes place outside on a cottage porch on Georgian Bay over the course of 7 days. There are three rocking chairs center stage, and the backdrop is an exterior wall with a screen door leading into the cottage. The cottage was originally built in the 1930s and was once the de la Roche family home. Emma, Sue, and Veronica lived here as children, but the cottage is now owned by Emma and her husband, Andrew. Each scene opens with a monologue by Rebecca. When she addresses the audience, she is not seeing the actual people sitting there, but she's imagining water spirits, which are the spirits of her ancestors who listen to her from the water. So Act 1, Scene 1, Footprints. Early morning, day 1, girls' week begins. Rebecca enters. She is jogging and listening to music. She takes a breath and stretches to take in the moment. Rebecca smiles broadly at her surroundings, turns off the music, and removes her headphones. How many times did you look out from this spot? Any of you may have stood at the edge of these waters, your feet on this granite. Once upon a time, great-great-grandma may have swayed among the spruces and waved her arms like branches in the mighty winds off the bay. Yes, Georgian Bay Island dancing. Once upon a time, Mum may have watched out for Grandpa's boat bouncing along the white tips of the water, loaded with city men and fish for dinner. Once upon a time, when I was a kid, I built a tree fort with my brother right here and talked about life beneath a meteor shower with my cousins over here and ate peanuts out of the shell with Knight when he was a puppy there. I had a whole big story waiting for me. I was a caterpillar princess with super magical dandelion feathers and silk dresses and a crown of birch bark with honeysuckle and... And here I am today. Today. Rebecca notices the empty jar. A jar, generally for preserving or collecting. She scoops the air and then twists on the lid. She holds it up into the light to look at it. A day is a lot like this air. A breath of truth, a gust of doubt. Oh, what will I capture in this jar today? All I want is peace. Maybe to find happiness, I'll need to climb inside this jar and hide. Now I'm going to skip over to the monologue that begins scene two. So scene two, the title of the scene is Boats. It's the afternoon. It's day two. And Rebecca, Chelsea, and Tina, who are the cousins, they enter running and giggling, and Chelsea carries a bag, and what they do is they kind of stuff Rebecca into a caterpillar princess costume, chase her off stage, and then she comes back on and tells this story on her own. And this is new. As a kid, I loved collecting caterpillars. I put some grass and honeysuckle in the bottom of a jar, find a caterpillar, and carefully put it inside. Seal it with a tin lid, and make holes with Dad's hammer and a nail. I'd watch the caterpillar explore the jar for about an hour, then I'd put her back on the rock or branch she came from before finding another. Once upon a time, in a place not far from here, where silk tents hang among the branches of birch trees, there lived a curious caterpillar princess. She hatched in the spring and joined all the other caterpillars in spinning silk for their kingdom. When she wasn't working with her friends and family, she was exploring and laughing with the creatures of the forest. One day, it was time for her to leave home and spin a cocoon. Her friends and family kissed her goodbye. "But what happens next?" she asked. You'll meet a handsome prince, and then your big life will begin, they cried. She set to work right away, building the most beautiful cocoon. She looked up into the evening sky and saw a robin sitting on a branch. The caterpillar princess asked the robin, "When I go into my cocoon to sleep, what happens next?" The robin replied, "You will awake as a moth, with wings to take you anywhere you want. We will be able to fly together." And so the caterpillar princess went to sleep. When she awoke as a moth, she was stronger and faster than ever before. She missed her friends and family, but she knew this must be when her story began. This must be when it was her time to soar. She even had wings, after all. But the creatures of the forest whispered in the wind that it was time to find her prince. So she did as they said, releasing her pheromones into the breeze, and before the woodpecker could say, "Gassy sex farts," a moth prince arrived to mate with her. That evening, she laid her eggs and placed them around the edges of a branch. "I've built a home, found a prince, and laid my eggs. What happens next?" The brave sparrow answered, "Your work here is done. Soon you will die." But the caterpillar princess wanted more, so she asked one more time, "What happens next?" She pauses, she thinks, and then she has an idea. And she knew just what to do. The caterpillar princess stopped asking everyone else for direction and started choosing her own. And then Rebecca exits confidently and the scene continues.
When you read that, you can see the parallels in life, right? So yeah. It's very clever. Well done. So, many thanks for coming in today and telling us about your play. Where can listeners buy, obviously not the play, but your other books or follow your blog?
It would have to be through the website, which is www.sunshineinajar.com. And if you want to buy tickets to see Once Upon a Rocking Chair, you can do that through the Northumberland Players website.
Fabulous. And listeners, to connect with us, please go to our website, www.wordonthehills.com, and there you can leave comments, queries, or suggestions, or just chat about what you've liked and not liked about our programs. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for tuning in for today. Please join us again next week, right here on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio.